8 years ago, on July 20th, it was the midnight showing of the new Batman movie, The Dark Knight Rises. That night occurred the largest mass shooting yet at the time, at the Century 16 Theater in Aurora, Colorado. The news left me very shaken and extremely anxious because at that time, my son Alex was 18 years old, and it's the exact type of thing he and his friends would have done. They've gone to a lot of movie openings at midnight showings. And suddenly, even though there'd been mass shootings in the past, they were all distant and far from me. But this one was a little too close because in my mind, if Aurora, Colorado, which is suburban Denver, could have a shooting like that, then Appleton, Wisconsin could have one at the Hollywood Cinema on the west side of town. For days, as the news reports unfolded, I found myself falling into such a deep state of sadness and depression for the victims and the families and the whole city of Denver. And to do something about it, I turned to music. And one particular piece, it's called When David Heard by Eric Whitaker. Now, if you're not into the choral world and a choral geek like I am, let me tell you a little bit about Eric Whitaker. He's kind of a rock star in the choral world. I'm part of a chorus called New Voices, and we sang one of his other pieces, Sleep, at a Christmas concert. And I was hooked on him and his polyphonic type of choral music. It's just sort of, he always does these really unusual chords that are really complex and meaty. And so I had, at that time, when I was practicing that song, I thought, well, what else does this guy do? And I came across When David Heard. And the text is very simple. It's from the Hebrew scriptures in the scroll of Samuel. And it's this. When David heard that Absalom was slain, he went up into his chamber over the gates and wept. And thus he said, my son, O Absalom, my son, would God I had died for thee. So this is King David talking about his son Absalom, who died in a fight, in a battle. Now this piece is not any ordinary choral piece. It's more like a symphonic piece. It's 17 minutes long, and it's 17 minutes of choral weeping and wailing. I can envision David and his whole court over these chambers above the gate and just singing and singing over and over again, my son, Absalom, my son. And that's mostly what the whole song is, and only once, 12 minutes into the piece, does it actually come to this climax where it says, would God I had died for thee. And the chords right before that build up. So the lowest voice starts, and then one right on top of it, the next right on top of it, and so forth. And I think there's about 32 notes in this chord until it's just smashing at you with this agony. And then they sing, oh God, would I have died for thee. And on the word thee, it opens up into a harmonic chord. Now the piece keeps going for 4 more minutes, but it's wailing that gradually comes down to this tiny little kind of just a soft murmuring. So I'm going to play about 90 seconds right now of right when that crescendo happens so you can get a sense for it. Somehow I feel like this song takes me through all the stages of grief in 17 minutes. Maybe it's because it's music that I've experienced singing, so I can just feel it really deep inside. And by the time the 17 minutes is up, I'm just sobbing. And then the song resolves quietly at the end, and I find it very peaceful, and I'm ready to go on with my life. Now, I have to give you a shameless plug. I didn't know this was going to happen, but I'm New Voices, this group I'm singing in, we are singing this song as a second piece in our concert on Saturday the 20th. And I got to tell you, I'm having a really hard time holding it together in rehearsals. But how does this help me live a principled life? Well, to me, the first principle with a twist, the inherent worth and dignity of everyone, and it's easy for us to think about that. Dan talked about it in his reflection. But probably like many of you, I've grown way too accustomed to mass shootings and the horror that accompanies them. And in my privileged little space in peaceful Appleton, Wisconsin, I can choose to not look at the news, not turn on the radio, not pay any attention to it, not be dragged into it. But by doing this, I think I'm dismissing the inherent worth of everyone involved. We need to embrace them and the tragic state of affairs in our country until something changes. This is not normal. And this song allows me to sit with the victims in my grief, come back out of it ready to help heal the world. And now, for something completely different. When I was 16 in the summer of 1977, it was the launch of Star Wars, and for me, the world was forever altered. My friends and I were obsessed about this movie. We had a competition to see how many times we could see it, and one of my good friends saw it over 20 times. I saw it 10 times, and sometimes, I know at least twice, I went for two showings back to back. And this is a 3-hour long movie, so I was there for 6 hours watching this movie. For me, Star Wars was sort of this coming-of-age story that I wanted and needed at the time. I was already kind of a science fiction geek from watching endless reruns of Star Trek, and I swear I had dreamed of something that was a plot like that, and somehow George Lucas got it and took out and made it into a movie. I was awestruck by the special effects at the time, and you got to remember that those were done specifically for that movie, and they'd never been seen in the world before. I had memorized the entire dialogue, and I had purchased the multi-album vinyl set from the London Symphony Orchestra for the soundtrack, and I would have it playing on my stereo with that really thick, curly cord that would come with the giant headphones, and you'd lay on your bed, and I'd just sit there and listen to the soundtrack for 3 hours, and I could see the dialogue going through my head, and I could see the pictures from the movie right before me. That's how much power music has over me. Now, Star Wars was also my entry point into Unitarian Universalism and our seventh principle, but of course I didn't know that at the time. I grew up with a theology, frankly, of white privilege. A theology that implicitly stated that the world was there for me and my kind to do with what we wished. And for me, Star Wars and the concept of the Force, something that connects us all things in the universe, was my introduction to the interconnectedness of all existence that I hold so dear today. And every time I hear that familiar theme song, I'm reminded of that. So, obviously, by my examples, music and song, I think, are really powerful. And on a consistent basis, we hear new studies that demonstrate the power of singing to help lift your mood. Maybe I get these because I'm in a choir, right? I've heard of studies that found that members of choir actually have synchronized heartbeats. And then, of course, there's many health benefits to controlled breathing. But then just changing a song or the music, I think we all know this, can significantly alter your mood or your outlook. Now, I'm admittedly a classical and choral music nerd, but we all know that songs come in endless styles and genres and forms, and each has a different power over us. So I'm going to do a little experiment with y'all. I'm going to give you about 10 different emotions, and I want you to think, it's silent, you don't have to shout it out, what is the song that comes to mind immediately? Because I bet you'll be surprised how many of these are songs you have attached to emotions. So here we go. If I say the word happy, what's a song that you immediately think of? Sad. Depressed. Anxious. Angry. Thoughtful. Boisterous. Violent. Intrigued. Peaceful. Content. And if you were ever a teenager or had to deal with teenagers, you can probably come up with one of these real quickly: annoyed. So just like the story that I read this morning, just the change of a name has the power to start changing perception and the outcome. So his name is Mutini, which meant suffering, but was given the name Baraka, or blessing, and it changed his future. Music, I think, does the same thing, which is why I find music so versatile in supporting principled living. It's flexible enough to be present in a way that I need it when I need it. And then, yet there's another aspect of music that I learned recently that I had to stop and think about. Music can remind me that life is not all about me and my need for control. There's a book called Beyond Busyness, The Time Wisdom for Ministry. So it's actually time management for ministers. Contains a short essay by the Welsh Anglican bishop, theologian, and poet Rowan Williams. The essay is titled, To Work with the Stream of God's Wisdom. And in it, Williams describes a musical event as, quote, a moral event, a recovery of the morality of time. A recovery of the morality of time. I love this, end quote. He writes that a piece of music takes time. It's the one thing in modern society you can't hit a fast-forward button and get the same impact. You have to listen to it at the speed at which the composer or the performer chose to record it. And so it means you have to slow down. In this way, it's analogous to forcing us to relinquish the control we may think we have in the busyness of our modern world and let go into contemplation. That's very much a religious experience by my definition. William writes further from his very theist perspective, quote, the authority of music, what silences and holds us, is then one of the fullest parables we have of the authority of God, not in commanding and imposing from outside, but from asking for our time so that it can become a time of mending and building. In that double gift, time given away and time given back, we are taken more deeply into the wisdom of God and freed from the destructive illusion that we are supposed to be God. Unquote. Perhaps that's what I discovered on my own. Music allowed me to claim back time, to grieve, to imagine, to contemplate the universe and my place in it. Maybe that's why much of religious and spiritual practices often incorporates music. Well, I suppose at some point I need to get to Jim Scott and May Your Life Be as a Song, because that's what the sermon's titled, and we just had this great song here. So when I wrote this sermon back in June, the month's theme was blessing. And I thought of Jim Scott's song right away because it's in our small teal hymnal, number 1059, May Your Life Be as a Song. Now, Jim Scott is a very, very prolific Unitarian Universalist songwriter and performer. And his music is often related to his love of earth and nature, which is clearly reflected in the lyrics of that short hymn and what the band played and sang. It's a personal favorite of mine. I love to sing it and thereby wish someone a life of song. I can't think of anything better. But what does that really mean? May your life be as a song. I've given you examples of using song and how I do that, but Jim Scott says be a song. Let me unpack that a little bit. The chorus, may your life be as a song, resounding with the dawn to sing awake the light and softly serenade the stars, ever dancing circles in the night. That, folks, suggests almost magical qualities to me. And I thought, resounding with the dawn to sing awake, who does that? Oh, wait a minute, the birds. And so I started thinking about if I'm out in outer space, I'm looking back at our planet, and there's that line you always see where it's night on this side and daytime on this side, and the Earth is rotating towards that. If you think about it, from pole to pole, every bird in God's creation is bursting into song to welcome that rotation of the Earth. That sounds almost mystical. Of course, unless you're trying to sleep late on a summer morning with your windows open. But anyway, the whole idea of songs just greeting the universe is amazing to me. And then he talks about serenading the stars as they swirl across the sky endlessly. For me, that immediately conjured up Star Wars and the special effects they did with space and stars and the galaxy. In fact, that's why I played the whole 90 seconds, because right at that point is when they wander off into the stars and the planets. To me, it's as if Jim Scott is telling us that song is everywhere and always has been. Song is a foundational piece of the universe. And then there were three specific lines in the song and the verses that to me support privileged living, and I wanted to lift those up. The first talks about the vastness of music. He says, "My wish for you as now we part is for greater peace to fill your heart with dreams as vast as starry space, so hurt and anger know no place." The concept that music could fill your heart and soul with such peace that hurt and anger are shoved out completely. That's astounding. And this is when I listened, when David heard, what it does for me. It helps me find that place that is so important for spiritual growth and principled living. And the second one was talking about the power of music to change your mood. And the phrase is, "Through every fate and circumstance may hope lead weary steps to dance." In other words, don't be scared and wallow in the weariness of despair. Let music be a source of hope for you. And for me, visually, I conjure up those junior high and high school dances where much of us stood on the outskirts of the floor because we were too afraid to go out there. And what I hear him saying is, get back out on the dance floor of life and live your principles with music as your source of hope. And then finally, it's music as a metaphor for the symphony of humanity in the universe. May the bonds of our diversity serve a richer harmony. And so it's that example in that Eric Whitaker song of that polyphonic mashed up chord. Because right now in the world, that's all I hear. I hear this really meshed up chord disharmony hitting me every day, all the time. And we have to move towards that more harmonious chord. And I started thinking, isn't building a better, more harmonious world the whole point of our seven principles? Think about that image. So my dear friends, to support us all in living principles life, I'd like to close by offering you this blessing. May your life be as a song, resounding with the dawn, to sing awake the light and softly serenade the stars, ever dancing circles in the night.